UK Wine Show, show number 129. Bulk importing of wine with Kingsland Wine. On this week's award-winning wine show, we're talking with Karen Wilson and Fiona Loveland on bulk wine importing. Karen and Fiona are from Kingsland Wine.
And in the news, champagne sales are up at Asda, Tesco launched value wine, and what a great waste of energy.
G'day! Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 129 for the 31st of October, 2008. My name's Chris Scott, and on this week's show we're talking with Karen Wilson and Fiona Loveland from Kingsland Wine. We're going to be talking to them about importing wine in bulk from overseas, but also some of the green initiatives they're doing. In this week's Spotlight, we look at the results from our poll. In the current economic situation, are you cutting back or spending more on wine? And in this week's quote, we have an interesting one, and it's this. I've lived temperately. I double the doctor's recommendation of a glass and a half of wine each day, and I treble it with friends. Clues throughout the show, answer at the end. But next, we have the news with Jane.
Thanks, Chris. Supermarket chain Asda is reporting an increase in sales of champagne, which they say is bucking the overall market trend of decreasing sales. According to data from AC Nielsen, champagne sales at Asda stores rose by 4.5% in the 12 weeks to the 4th of October 2008, helped by more affluent consumers coming through its doors and promotions aimed at making champagne more accessible. But the increase doesn't necessarily mean the supermarket's immune from the credit crunch in this category. Champagne sales are peaking after the end of month payday and then dropping during the middle of the month when customers have less money to spend.
I suppose for me, the increase in Asda sales is obviously from people trading down, with more people going to Asda perhaps who don't normally shop there and they're buying champagne there. But with the total imports of champagne just starting to drop away, particularly after recent price increases from champagne, it'll be interesting to see whether a crash in champagne consumption is just around the corner. According to a recent article in Harper's, people are trading down from the prestige vintage champagnes to maybe normal vintage champagnes, or perhaps to non-vintage champagnes. From non-vintage, some people are even going down to own label, or dare I say it, to a new world sparkling wine. It'll be interesting to see how the new higher prices and lower demand will change the supply and demand issues that are affecting champagne, which up until recently had been in a situation of not enough supply to meet demand. Perhaps another bust for champagne is just around the corner. What's next, Jane?
Well, Tesco's new range of value wines will hit the shelves this week, priced at £2.89 for a 1 litre Tetra Pak. The range has been sourced from Spanish producer Felix Solis Avantis and consists of a red, a white and a rosé. Tesco say the aim is to target an increasing number of customers who are being forced to limit their spend. They say the market's changed rapidly over the past 12 months and they're responding quickly and effectively to these conditions to support their customer needs.
Wow! I thought the days of 750ml bottles of wine at under £3 were pretty rare and left to the specialists such as Lidl. But Tesco's done proud by dropping a 1 litre bottle of wine all the way down to £2.89. Well, let's have a look at the duty that's going to be paid on that 1 litre of wine. A normal 750ml bottle of wine costs £1.46 in duty. So, a 1 litre bottle of wine will cost £1.95 in duty. And don't forget, you've got to pay tax on that tax in this country. So we've got to add VAT on, or value-added tax, 33 pence. It gives a total tax rate of £2.28 to our darling Alistair. Or should I say Alistair darling? There's nothing anybody can legally do about that £2.28 tax. So the £2.89 bottle of wine has 61 pence of wine in it. Well, not quite really, because that 61 pence has got to grow the grapes, make the wine, package the wine, ship the wine, and also have Tesco's profit in it. So they're going to be cutting their normal 30 to 40% margins quite heavily. I don't think this wine's going to do the drinkers any favours, and I certainly don't think it's going to be a particularly profitable number for Tesco's. So good on them for trying something, but I think it's not the best. What's the last story, Jane?
Well, on a completely different tack, Vincor Canada has come up with a novel solution to what to do with the waste from the Great Crush that will reduce their carbon footprint and result in significant cost savings. The grape waste, or pomace, is normally put back into the vineyard or sent to a landfill, but Vincor plans to sell about 3,500 tonnes from its three Niagara-on-the-Lake wineries to another local company, Vandermeer Greenhouses. Vandermeer will use the grape residue to create electricity to heat its greenhouses. The process is known as anaerobic digestion, where organic matter is broken down in an oxygen-free environment to produce methane gas, which is then captured and used to generate electricity. Any surplus would be sold to the Ontario Hydro Grid. The anaerobic digester is a sizable piece of kit developed in conjunction with CEM Engineering and Planet Biogas. Wineries involved in the project include Inniskillen Wines and Jackson Triggs Niagara Estate Winery, both in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and Vincor Niagara Cellars in Niagara Falls. The one-year agreement with Vandermeer Greenhouses will start with the 2008 harvest. That's all from me this week, but don't forget you can get these stories on our website at 3050.co.uk.
Cheers, Jane. Using the waste skins to produce methane as they decompose sounds like a great idea. I'm not sure how much value the waste product will have, but at least Vincor sounds as if they're going to get paid for the skins, which is much better than going to the landfill. How are you guys getting on with the quote? This week's quote is, "I have lived temperately. I double the doctor's recommendation of a glass and a half of wine each day, and even treble it with friends." The famous person was born in the 13th of April, 1743, in a family closely related to some of the most prominent individuals in Virginia, USA. Any ideas? Well, the quote is of a famous person. He's not around anymore as we move into a possible recession. In this week's poll, we ask, in the current economic climate, are you cutting back or spending more on wine? Now, the results are in, and it's fairly interesting. 5% of people said they were cutting back on how much they're spending on wine. 10% said they were cutting back on the amount of wine they drank. Surprisingly, 9% are spending more on the wine, and a massive 76% are spending about the same. Now, it's clear that 76% of people have not changed their approach to wine given the current economic uncertainty. 15% are cutting back in either volume or quantity of wine they're drinking. But I was really surprised about that 9% spending more on wine. So it appears that there is a drift of about 4% of people spending less. I think the value of this type of question is not as a one-off, but if we ask it regularly, we can get a trend. And I think we're going to ask this question again early next year. Next week in the Spotlight, we are going to continue our look at terroir. I think I've done soils to death now, but I think the look at soils and geology has broadened my understanding quite a bit and given me some things to look at when I go to vineyards. If you want to recap on any of the ideas, they're on the site 3050.co.uk. Click on the UK Wine Show, and there's a section called Terroir and Wine. Next week, we're going to start looking at the winemaker's influence, and the first thing we're going to touch on is yeast. How can yeast affect the final wine? While knowing a lot about terroir is great, the person in this week's quote is considered an expert in many fields. In fact, President John F. Kennedy welcomed 49 Nobel Prize winners to the White House in 1962, and he said, "I think this is the most extraordinary collection of talent, of human knowledge that's ever gathered in the White House, with the possible exception of when the person in our quote died alone." How are you getting on with that quote anyway? "I've lived a temperate life. I double the doctor's recommendation of a glass and a half of wine each day, and even treble it with friends." Well, any joy with this person? He is the third American president between 1801 and 1809. Known as the Sage of Monticello, he cultivated an image that earned him the nickname Man of the People. He created a popular air by greeting White House guests in homespun attire, like a robe and slippers, apparently. Not sure about that. Next up, though, we're going to be moving into our interview, and this week we're going to be looking at bulk wine importing. We're also going to be looking at some of the things Kingsland Wine have done in terms of minimising their impact on the environment. Let's have a listen to what Karen Wilson and Fiona have to say. Hi, I'm here with Karen Wilson and Fiona Loveland. How are you guys?
We're very well, thanks.
Fine, thanks.
You guys work for Kingsland Wine and Spirit. Do you want to just tell us what Kingsland Wine and Spirit is? I'll start with Fiona.
Yes, we're the largest independent UK bottler, and we bottle for some of the major retailers, along with our own brands and some contract work as well.
So you're a bottling company?
Mm-hmm. We bottle wines and spirits.
So how does that work? What's your business process?
Say we're working on one of our own brands. Fiona would select the wine from whatever country that might be. And we would get the wines analysed by our laboratory and draw up a specification.
And then after that, then I would speak to the logistics department, and we'd sort out getting it shipped over, and it'd be shipped over in flexi tankers or ISO tankers.
What are they?
It's almost like a massive bag.
Like a bag in the box.
Yeah, a bag in the box, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is put into a container, or it's a sort of metal container in which they clean out the containers and then put the wine in those containers and then ship them over.
Okay, so you're buying the wines in a container at a time.
Yes.
Chock block full of wine.
Normally sort of 26 or 24,000 litres at a time.
Okay, and you bring them over to...
Well, what's quite unique about Kingsland is that we are in Earlham, we're just off the Manchester Ship Canal. So we did a... we've got a green initiative going to reduce carbon footprint, whereby the wines are coming in to Liverpool, and then we put them on a barge at Liverpool and they come down the Manchester Ship Canal. So we've taken the containers off the roads and we're bringing them down, like they would have done in the olden days, by barge along the canal. And we offload them in Manchester, and then our facility is just around the corner.
Are you doing work for one of the supermarkets?
Yes, we are.
Which one's that?
Tesco.
I remember I saw this, you guys written up in the trade press.
That's right. We're working on a green initiative with Tesco to reduce carbon footprint. And one of the great things about Tesco is that they're really supportive of wanting to work to reduce carbon footprint. And we're also doing a lightweighting of glass initiative with the retailer to try and reduce the weight of glass.
Bringing wine in by bulk into the UK is actually really good for the environment,
yes,
isn't
it?
Is.
Yes.
What are the key benefits for it?
One of the great things is that instead of shipping glass across the world, it's just coming over in a container, which then we're bottling in Manchester, and it's the nearest point of where it's going to be sold. And we use, I was saying, lighter weight glass, and it's got less to travel to get to depots and to stores, etc. So the carbon footprint of bulk wine is a lot lower, you could argue, than wines bottled at source.
I suppose you get more wine into your container
you
as well.
Absolutely.
How much more do you get? Is it like 10% more?
I'm not sure.
Not sure? No. Just a lot more.
Our logistics department will be able to steer us in that direction.
Just a lot more, though.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of empty space in a wine box,
that's
isn't
it.
There?
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Are you sourcing your glass in the UK?
Yes.
So you're starting to soak up some of the green glass,
mm-hmm,
that's
right.
Really hard to recycle?
Yeah, our main glass supplier is based in the UK. So we've got a few out of Europe, but we try and use UK glass wherever possible.
Okay, and do you use mainly green or what? A clear glass?
It is mostly green or autumn leaf.
What's autumn leaf? Oh, the brown stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that around a wee bit. Okay, and using lighter weight glass, mm-hmm, as well, that's really cool.
Again, that's something that the retailers have asked us to do, so we're working with them.
Do you find breakages are a problem with it?
No, obviously you only lightweight it to a point that's manageable without breakages. That's the key to it, finding the right weight. Because like you say, if you lightweight glass too much, then it could become too delicate and you would get cracks, etc.
Fantastic. Mm. So you get your wines in, they come off the barge in a container.
Yeah.
And what does it do? Go into a big tank?
Into a tank, yeah.
Yep.
And then they're analysed by our laboratory, make sure they're within specification. And then they're all fit for bottling when they arrive from California, Australia, Chile, wherever they've come from. And then they either go down a 0.45 or a 0.65 sterile filter and down one of the lines.
Okay, so they're filtered first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then down the, what are the lines? What's a bottling
line?
Well,
we've got five lines, and they're flexible lines, and we've got one high-speed line that we would do for if we've got a lot of one particular product coming in. We'd maybe just do it down the high-speed line a few tanks at a time, and that can be in carton or tray and shrink wrap, depending on what the customer requirements are. And most of our bottling is now all in screw cap.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Was it hard to change over from cork to screw?
We, the first bottling company to work with Tesco on a screw cap initiative for a range called Unwind, and Tesco were at the forefront of developing screw cap wines being sold in the supermarkets in the UK, and we bottled a range of about six wines for them, and they were very successful. And then they changed all their own label wines to be bottled in screw cap.
Sure. So you get your wines, they come in, they're bottled up. Do you use other bottling, or like people talking about different packaging concepts at the moment, you know, PETs, plastic bottles, Tetra Paks even. Have you had a look at those sort of things?
Yeah, we're working on PET at the moment.
Yeah. What are the issues with PET that you see?
Well, they're very, very light, so we might have to modify the line just to cope with the PET bottle.
Okay. Yeah, because they'll blow away in the wind almost, won't they?
Yeah. That's it. They are so light, but they probably have to be handled differently. They probably need to purchase a different type of kit and maybe even a different filler, for all I know, you know, to actually fill them. So, but we are working on that because there is going to be a need at some point to move to PET, we think.
Tesco's are producing some of their wines in PET at the moment, and their Sainsbury's were as well, but Sainsbury's stopped over winter. They weren't quite sure why. I put it down to volume. They weren't maybe pushing it through because PET has got to be fairly fast from bottling to sale and consumption.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the shelf life is for a PET bottle, but it's certainly not the same as a glass bottle, is it?
No.
It's got a shorter shelf life.
Okay.
Yes, I believe so. And obviously we do bag-in-box as well.
Do you?
And which is very popular in Scandinavia. We send wine over to Sweden.
Oh, okay, so it comes in, you repackage it.
Yeah, from Australia, and yeah, then send it out to Stockholm to the Swedish monopoly.
The wine's arrived, you've repackaged it, and then I presume at that point it's got to go on truck after that.
Yeah, it probably stay in our warehouse for a limited amount of time, and then the various customers would place orders and they'd either pick it up themselves or we would deliver it to their depots.
What about the wines that you're repackaging, sending off to Scandinavia, the bag and boxes? Mm-hmm. Do you stick them back on your barge out to Liverpool and back out, or...?
No, it's containers come in to Earlham and pick them up, and they take them to Stockholm by road and ferry. Oh,
by road and ferry, yeah. Okay. Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to make more use of the canal and the barge system, because really it is a great way forward, and, you know, to take lorries off the roads, which are already, you know, completely congested.
How many containers are coming in by barge at the moment?
It kind of depends on the time of year, because obviously we're very, very busy in the run-up to Christmas, etc., and we, you know, we're a bit more quiet now, and so then we get busy again at Easter.
Yeah.
I would say we probably maybe put five on the barge at a time, something like that.
I would say so.
And how many barges a week?
Well, it's like a shuttle service that goes sort of from Liverpool to Earlham. I don't know whether it's once a week at the moment, because we've really got to build momentum for it, because it's a very new project.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's quite exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is, definitely.
You must feel
good
about
us.
Yourself.
Yeah, really pleased.
Was your business historically there and it used to make use of the barges, or was it just a fortuitous thing that your operations just happened to be right beside the river?
Yeah, no, we've always been there since the 1960s, and all our wines used to come in to the south of England, to Felixstowe, etc. And we thought, we've got Liverpool on our doorstep, why not make more use of it? So our logistics department made inquiries, got in touch with Peel Holdings, who have dealings with Port of Liverpool and the Manchester Ship Canal. And they were really interested in the project and backed us and moved it forward with us. Obviously, we got Tesco interested, so we were all able to work together to make it a success, and so it was able to come to fruition.
Excellent. What do you think going forward? Do you think it's a model that you'll see more and more of your product going this way?
I think so. It's got to be the way forward. You know, we're all really conscious of carbon footprint now and protecting the environment and really doing our bit. So it's definitely the future.
From an environmental point of view, it's obviously a good advantage. But what about from a commercial point of view? Is it similar costs, cheaper, more expensive?
I think at the moment it's not as cheap as using the roads, but there's bigger benefits and you have to look beyond that at the moment. Yeah. And maybe become more cost effective in the future.
Certainly as a person driving up the road sitting behind a truck,
yes.
I'd rather that was on a badge.
Definitely. We all.
There's nothing worse than being stuck behind a wedge between lorries.
Yeah, especially with the winds we're getting at the moment.
Oh, yeah. You never know what's going to happen. They could blow over anything.
Yeah.
So all that wine going to waste on the roadside, I'm going to straw big enough.
That would never happen. Never happen.
Okay, then I think I'll wrap it up there, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that interview. That ends this week's look at bulk wine importing. Next week, we're going to be back talking with Jancis Robinson, the UK's top wine writer. We're going to be talking with her about wine writing and the latest edition of the World Atlas that she co-authored with Hugh Johnson. Just to finish off, though, we've got the quote, and have you had any joy with that? I have lived temperately. I double the doctor's recommendation of a glass and a half of wine each day and even treble it with friends. As a famous American president, his picture is on the $2 American bill. Any ideas? Well, it's Thomas Jefferson. Until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Chris Scott and the news is read by Jane Scott. To listen to other shows, visit ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.